Hey, good morning again. Thank you for coming, and thank you so much for your faithfulness to this church and to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was great food, the taste of Asia. That was so good. Oh, wow. Thank you for all that food and the fellowship and the game. That coin game was amazing. That Pastor Brian, it was around 190. It's a lot of money in coins just in those jars with water. It was amazing, very shocking. Thank you so much for all that you've been doing for missionaries and for the gospel, and it's a blessing to be here. Let's get right into the Bible because this is a little bit of a briefer time, but we'll have another sermon after the meal if you can stay. It would be great. So we do this as well at our church. Every so often we'll have a meal and help hopefully get more of our members to stay for that final service. So let's go ahead in our Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 2. James 1, verses 2 to 4. I was going to do a two-part faith promise sermons, like a second one, but talking to Pastor, he also said it was fine to do a, this is not exactly a missionary sermon, though it's going to be more about trials and so forth, but the message to follow will be missions after lunch, so please stay for food and stay for more spiritual food. But James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. Would you stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? Let's read these verses together as well. Out loud, James 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let's all read those together. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Ready? Begin. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And let's pray this morning, shall we? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you for the privilege to serve you. Thank you for this missionary month in the Gospel Light Baptist Church. I ask that you would use today's message to increase our faith and to help us to step out and commit ourselves and trust you with all of our hearts. Help us not to lean on our own understanding, regardless of what trials may be in our lives at this time. I ask that you would speak, Lord, for your glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. So here in the Bible, the book of James is written probably by James, the Lord's brother. And this is good doctrinal truth about our works. A faith without works is dead. And I'm not going to preach specifically expository through the book of James this morning. This is going to be a more topical sermon focusing on trials. When God allows a trial into your life, how we should respond. And the greater the trial, if I had to give a title for the sermon, the greater the trial, the greater the blessing. So the greater the trial, the greater the blessing. James here talks about trials. When it says there in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. We also know that that means various trials. These are divers is a word that we would understand it a little more of just different trials. And verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, see there, trying, you can understand, worketh patience. Trials come for God's glory. That's the purpose of trials. Well, the purpose of our life as believers, we've been created in God's image. And if you're saved, you've been redeemed. And all that we do is for God's glory. Every word that we speak, every thought that we think, every action that we take is all for God's glory. That's the purpose of life. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, there is a missing part of your heart that is so big that nothing will fill it. Nothing but God. You could own the entire world and all of the money in the world, but it would not be big enough to fill the empty space in your life that only Jesus Christ can fill. And so the purpose of our life is to give God glory. And the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So as a believer, as a child of God, We are being molded and made into his image more and more. You're saved the moment you trust in Jesus Christ, but the sanctification process begins. God is using everything in our life to make us more like him. A trial is a blessing. When God entrusts a trial with you, to you or me, it's a blessing. We are all in the same program. As Christians, we're in the same scholastic program. It's the school of trust. We're in a school this morning, renting. We are in the school of trusting and obeying God. A trial is just one of many assignments from the Lord. A trial is just one of many assignments from God. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. His life was one big, long trial, right? What happened? His brothers tried to take him and kill him and left him for dead and lied to their dad. Oh, he's dead. Look, we found his coat full of blood. Then, miraculously, he survives. He's sold to the Ishmaelites and then is working all the way up in Egypt for Potiphar. And then again, he's framed by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison. One big, long trial. Joseph's life was a full life of trials. But what was the key? He had his faith in God the entire time. With every trial, his faith got stronger. Every trial in your or my life should increase our faith. A continual, lifelong faith in God. The same could be said of Moses. God called him to do something that he knew he couldn't do. And he was in the desert after, I'm just fast forwarding, imagine, 40 years in the desert. So what is a trial this morning? What is a trial? Simple definition in its simplest form. A trial simply is when things don't go as they were planned. Right? Anything from as small as driving to work and getting a flat tire to Moses being in the desert for 40 years. A trial is when things don't go as what we thought they should have gone, the way that we thought they would go. But may I say in introduction, the promises of God are clear and concentrated and seen up close while in completing the assignment. Do you understand a high-efficiency washing machine? You just need a little bit of soap and it goes a long way, right? When God brings a trial into your life, understand that his promises are there with the trial. And you only need a little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, in the great promises of God. And it's very concentrated. God's presence during a trial is very real. And you're not alone. And you don't have to have a great faith. You just need a little bit of faith to get you through the trial that God has for you. By the way, with the test, the testing, the trial, comes the answers. God not only gives the assignment, but he also already has the answers for the test that you're going through. The answers are there. He's putting you through a test, a trial, to strengthen your faith, to mold and make us more into the image of Jesus Christ. Take heart this morning. If you're going through a tough time, you're not alone. My friend, if you're saved, the Lord will never forsake you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. Even when it seems like no one knows. Most trials are suffered in secret. Most trials are hidden from the eyes of men. But may I tell you, God knows your situation. God's trials come on his timetable with his grace built in. I don't know what great grace means. I've seen that in the Bible one or two times. Why put the word great in front of grace? I mean, there's no need, but I don't understand. That's something Pastor Brian maybe can tell you. Maybe we'll talk at lunch. But I can tell you this, during a trial, I believe there's some special great grace. I don't understand that. But may I just encourage you this morning with four or five things that trials can do for you, or four or five things that what we should do during a trial. What can trials do for us? We have the story of our son, and I mentioned it a little bit. But may I say, just when our son got the diagnosis of the brain cancer, he was 23 months old, very happy little boy. everybody in church could hold him. He just loved to be held by, he's that personality that anyone can hold him. And all of a sudden, nobody could hold him but Mama. And everyone said, something's wrong with your son. He's no longer the same Jonathan that we once knew. And he's falling down. And one of our young men said, Pastor, your son's, his walking is digressing, like he's not progressing. And I said, no, my son's fine. But sure enough, it's true. And God allowed our son to have the baseball-sized brain tumor, cancer, on Father's Day weekend. We're all ready for Father's Day. Everything's going great. God gave us property. We paid cash. We don't believe in debt, in the ministry, in life at all. Everything's cash. Perfect. Miracle May, June. 1 month later, empty lot, Father's Day weekend. We have all the gifts ready for our fathers of our church. And Friday, 2 days before, our son had the MRI and the diagnosis, brain cancer. What's going to happen? My first thought, frankly, is he's going to die. That's just the way my mind works. Probably the way most of us think. Lack of faith, I know. But can I tell you, the first thing to do during a trial is to wait for God. Number one, wait for God to complete the work that he is doing in you. We have to sometimes just wait. We hate waiting, don't we, in North America and Canada. We don't like to wait for anything. We want everything now. Now. Wait, now. The convenience. No. The world tells us the opposite. But God says in the Bible, we're to wait. These trials, James 1, 2, the Bible says count it all joy. We're to count it joy. God says it's a good thing when a trial comes. It's building you. It's completing you. It's making you perfect. Not perfect in that sense, but entire, lacking nothing, wanting nothing. The word perfect means complete. We are not complete as far as who God wants us to be. We're completely saved, but you're not completely who God wants you to be as a follower of Jesus Christ. None of us are. This is a journey, and a trial comes to help rub off those rough edges of our lives that are really not useful for God. So when a trial comes, first thing to do is to wait. Wait for God to complete the job. It's something he's doing in us for his glory. Psalm chapter 39 verse 6 says, I'll read it quickly, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We have to wait upon the Lord during a trial. We have to wait upon God every day, really. Nothing will happen without his power and for his glory if we're yielded to him. But the Bible goes on to say, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants us to wait during the trial. Have you ever had a heart surgery, major open heart surgery? Anyone here? Raise your hand. Embarrass you quickly. Anybody? No? Well, I hope you never do. That's pretty good. If you ever have some type of open heart surgery, what do you think if maybe in the middle of it, you're kind of in a hurry? And you decide right in the middle of the surgery, you wake up strangely and you tell the surgeon, excuse me, it's taking too long. I think I'll go home now with your heart exposed. Are you really going to impatiently tell the doctor, just stop, it's fine. You're taking so long. I can't wait any longer. I got to go. How much more are we're doing the same thing. When God allows a trial in our life, when he puts something right in the middle of your life that just messes everything up, and what do? We're tempted to say, I can't wait for that. No, I just can't. Oh, no, God, no. I'll find a way to get around that. I'll make a quick decision, and I'm not waiting. And God's sitting there trying to tell you, I'm doing major heart surgery, spiritual heart surgery in your life, but you're trying to get up off the spiritual operation table. And you're going to do some serious damage to your life and God's plan for your life. Trials are for us to wait and look to God. Second thing, what to do during a trial? Seek Him daily so that He can perform the work in you. We have to be seeking God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We should seek God during the trial. We should be seeking God every day, but especially during the trial. Read the Word of God every day. We are hurting ourselves when we neglect the Word of God. We don't know what God's trying to tell us if we don't open His Word. Do you read the Bible every day? Or do you only come to church to have a weekly feeding, which will really starve you to death? You can't live on one meal a week. We must read the Word, especially during a trial. Especially during a trial. I'll never forget when we got on the first airplane with our son. He had hydrocephalus. The brain tumor was pushing his brain stem over in the center of his brain, and it was blocking two of the four ventricles, because your spine has fluid that goes up into the brain, circulates, and goes back down. I never knew any of this till, you know, our son. But the tumor is blocking that. So he had water stuck up on the brain, the spinal fluid, really. And so that made him fall down. And when a person has hydrocephalus and they get on the airplane, it's a risk, because the cabin pressure, when you first take off, the first 5 minutes, very dangerous, because it changes the cabin pressure, and the pressure goes on your brain. And so there was a small chance of him having an either like a seizure, stop breathing, or something, maybe his heart, whatever. All of the brain stem does a whole lot of very important things for your body. Now, Dr. Seymour of FBMI warned us about that takeoff and landing. So you know what we did? We got on the plane. We didn't tell the airline, because we want to make sure they let us on. We just got on. And praise the Lord. It was a one-hour flight to Manila. And they put us in the back seat randomly. That was good. And you know what we did in the middle of our trial? Just what I'm talking about here. We're seeking God. We're reading the Bible. And we got our Bible, and I got out Isaiah chapter 43. And I read these three verses, my wife and I, and we prayed with our son before the plane took off. And we read, "But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers thou shalt not overflow thee. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." And we read that multiple times. Those are very familiar verses of comfort. And we prayed. And I'm glad we stopped and read the Word of God. It empowered us. It strengthened our faith in the moment of trial. We must turn to the Word of God. And as the plane took off, everything was fine. The Filipino doctor had told us, try one flight for an hour. If it goes okay, try the next flight to Korea for 4 hours. If that one goes okay, try the 13-hour flight to Chicago. By God's grace, your son can be okay. Now, doctor didn't say by God's grace, but so that first flight, read those verses, plane took off. 10 minutes into the flight, our son started crying. And right away, we both thought, oh no, I'm going to have to tell the pilot, lower the altitude, because all you have to do is lower the altitude to get that pressure back. But we started reading the Bible right away again. Same verses. And then I kept reading to verse 5, and I never saw this verse in my life until that moment. I didn't know verse 5 was in the Bible. Listen to this verse. Knowing we're taking our son from the Philippines to America, the Bible says, Isaiah 43:5, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." I read that verse at the moment of our worst part of the trial, wondering what's wrong with our son. He's crying. Is he going to pass out? Is the brain having a problem, hydrocephalus? And that verse talks about your seed going from the east to the west. We were taking our son from the east to the west. Our seed, our son. I read it. And then my wife looked at me and I said, well, let me read that again. And I read it again, and we looked at each other, and we just started crying and praying and thanking God that he was with us in the midst of our darkest day of our life. But what would have happened if we did not read the Bible at that moment? We probably would have had a panic attack or had to take something. I don't know. I don't know what we would have done. How much more all of us in our trial read the Word of God. God is speaking. He has the answer. He has the power. He has this presence available to his children. Stop going through the trials on your own and seek out God. Seek him daily so he can perform the work in you. What do trials do? Thirdly, they help us to increase the number of times that we look to Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We love that part. I want to know the power of the resurrection. And we do know it, praise the Lord. When you die, you will live. The resurrection. But not only that, the verse goes on. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In following Jesus Christ, there will be suffering. There will be suffering. It's not going to just become amazing and everything's perfect and you become rich when you get saved. No, we have a fellowship of Christ's suffering. I have never had a problem in life or ministry that looking to Jesus did not enable me to continue. You know what our problem is? We're just too earthly minded. We're just focused on the earth, the world. And we're not looking to Jesus Christ. If you're going through a trial and you're trying to figure out, what are you doing, God? What are you doing? Look to Jesus Christ. Look what he already did. There's the answer there. Look to Jesus Christ. I had a friend. You heard about this man that just died. What was his name? The very famous atheist in a wheelchair, age 76, Richard Hawking. Remember? Just died. And I had a friend who's really questioning his faith. And he said, so tell me, why did God allow Stephen Hawking to have all of those terrible problems? Why? And you know what I said? I said, well, why would he also allow my son to have a brain cancer, not even 2 years old, 100 nights in the hospital, 6 surgeries, chemotherapy? Why? Oh, we can always ask why. But you know what? God already gave us the greatest answer, the clearest answer, because he sent Jesus Christ to leave heaven, come to earth. He who knew no sin became sin. Jesus, God in the flesh, died on the cross for you and for me, for our sins. God gave the answer. That answer is the final answer. Any question I ever ask, I don't need another answer. That's the answer. Oh, why would you do that to my son? Why would you give your son? God says, I gave my only begotten son. Look to him. Look into the suffering eyes of Jesus Christ. What he did for us on the cross. There is no trial. There is no question. There's nothing that I can ask God that he has not already given the answer to. The answer to the trial is Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. That's the answer to the world's problems. That's the reason for Faith Promise Missions. That's why we're here today. For God's glory. For Jesus Christ. For Christ's sake. That's the reason. You'll make it through your trial. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus. Are you being rejected today? Jesus was rejected by his own. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. There is no trial that God doesn't have the answer for. And then fourthly, what does a trial do for us? It teaches us to be content. Trials teach us to be content. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. A trial teaches us to be content. And Paul wrote that in Philippians when he was in prison. How would you like Pastor Brian from prison, if he's in prison, for preaching the gospel? Well, that could happen. What if Pastor Brian was in jail and wrote you all a letter and said, hey guys, I don't know what you're doing out there, but I'm in jail here. Whatever I have learned, whatever state I'm in, which I'm in prison, I'm content. How would you respond to that? Paul wrote that to his church in Philippi. I don't know about you, but if I was in the church of Philippi and my pastor wrote me a letter from jail and said, hey, just be content wherever you are, oh, I would be very encouraged. I would say, wow, how could you say that? You're in prison. I mean, this is a terrible, dirty prison in those days. I mean, muddy, there's no food, terrible conditions. Paul said, I learned to be content no matter what. And then fifth, I've got to stop now. Trials, number five. Trials eventually expand our reach and influence. Just look how God used Joseph to spare Egypt and the surrounding countries and the world from famine. God used Joseph in a great way, but not until he broke Joseph in a great way. God is allowed to break our hearts into a million pieces because he's God. If he wants to destroy what seems so important to us, he can do that. We belong to him. God will use the trial if we trust him, if we look to him, if we're content, if we use the little bit of faith we have. He will use the trial to expand your reach and influence for his glory. You will never know who's watching you go through your trial. You might think you're all alone and no one cares and no one sees, but there's a lot of people watching you. A lot of people watching your faith, your relationship to Jesus Christ. You'll never know the influence until you get to heaven. Trials help you relate to people more. Do you like hanging around people that have a perfect life, never had any problem happen, everything's just a wonderful, amazing? Of course not. Nobody wants to be around those people. Come on. It's better. I like to see the little guy, the one who's just been through everything and somehow God helped him. That's people can relate to you when you have a terrible trial. All of us are going through something at one point in our life. Nobody has it all together. This is a lie of the world. People have a nice car, a big house. Oh, come on. If they're without Christ, they're without hope. But if you have Jesus Christ, you have all that you need to go through your trial. Trials will expand your reach and influence. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Are you going through trial this morning? God can use it for his glory. We'll never know all that God is doing on this side of heaven. And if I might, even Pastor Brian had a tremendous testimony. What was your brother's name? I'm sure you've heard the story that his brother passed away, Stephen, 6 weeks after his wedding. And that was, we could never understand that trial unless you've lost. Not only that, his dad passed away when he was 8 years old. Can you imagine? I hope you can't. But God used that to call him into the ministry. Maybe this church wouldn't even be here had Brother Brian not trusted in the Lord with all of his heart. You see there? Your trial today may be influencing thousands of people in 20 years. But you'll never know that if you quit right now. If we quit trusting in the Lord in the middle of our trial, multitudes of people will not be reached with the gospel. You don't know what God has in store because of the trial he's entrusted to you. So I encourage you this morning, in this area of trials and temptations, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's nothing deeper I can say than the word of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You just do that, and God will take care of it. God will see you through. God will multiply your reach and your influence, and he'll increase your faith, and you'll be more confident in what God is doing and what the plans are. And if God says, no, wait, stop, he can do that. We really thought God needed us to really keep the church in the Philippines together. And when we got back to America, I'm like, why am I in America? You need me at the church there. God, you really need me there. And God said, no, I need you here in America. I'm going to show you what I can do once I get you out of the way. Sometimes we have to let go and let God. God can put us anywhere he wants if it's for his glory so that he can get to work. He's working on us. We're slowing God down when we don't trust in Him with all of our heart through the trials. So I encourage you this morning, look to Jesus Christ. Open the Word of God during your trial. Look to Him every moment. Open the Word of God. He has something in there for you. Let's all stand to our feet. Trials are for God's glory. They're for God's glory. The greater the trial, the greater the blessing, as long as you go through it with faith. We must exercise the faith that God has given us to get through the trial for His glory. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for